cliffcentral.com.
It's Rihanna with Calvin Harris. I like that song. This is what you came for. It is 4 minutes to go until 8, cliffcentral.com, on a post-election day show. Lots of people talking. Mariska says, I had no qualms about taking my parents to the front of the voting queue. My mum is 70. She came from having dialysis and bronchitis. Well, if you ask me, your mother should be in the hospital and not bothering to vote. She's not going to be around to see the results. I'm kidding, Mariska. Don't get yourself all upset now. But there we go. I did see a lot of old people being pulled to the front of the queue yesterday. And while it annoyed me in the beginning, it got better towards the end. I started feeling good about these things. All right, we're going to do something different this morning. I want to find out all about this new system. You know, I like being challenged by children and losing. It's my favorite thing in the world. And today, it's happened to me before. In spelling competitions, it's happened to me often in maths competitions. So today we're doing a kids versus celebrities maths challenge. It's going to be me versus Ethan Kirstein, who is, he's 12 years old. Is that right? You're 12?
Yes.
How are you?
Well, and thanks, and you?
I'm very good. You've got so many badges on your blazer, I know I'm going to lose. What's your school?
I can spell Lars from Florida.
Okay, so is he in Johannesburg?
Yeah.
Ja, mooi. Het jy gister niks gedoen nie?
Nee, ek het... Wel, gister het my ma ons bietjie uitgevat vir die ete.
Okay. Nou, jy is baie slim, né? I mean, you're the cleverest kid in your school. Come on, say
ja,
yes.
Ja.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Good, I like that. All right, I like a bit of confidence. So, is it Ethan?
Ethan, yes.
Okay, Ethan. We're going to do a maths quiz. You're going to challenge me.
Yes.
You're obviously going to win. Is this going to be addition, subtraction, multiplication, division? Or is it going to be more complicated than that?
Flash answer.
Okay, how does this work?
Well,
just explain it to me before you
it's like a lot of numbers is flashing to you and you have to, you know,
add them together
to get the answer.
Oh, I'm so screwed. I can't do this. I mean, I know I'm going to get the... I'm going to be guessing the number. Ben is laughing because he knows it's true.
Yeah, but Gareth, maybe you shouldn't be the representative of the team.
Do you want to try?
No, Michael should try because he's young. I think it's all about having a young brain.
You mean mine is atrophied and old and not particularly good at things anymore. Flax, are you willing to try?
Ed to say yes, but I'll give it a try.
Come in here and stand next to Ethan. Let's see who's cleverer, Flax or Ethan. I'm sure it's going to still be you, Ethan.
Have you noticed how Ethan is not nervous whatsoever?
No.
He's thinking,
he's
okay,
totally chilled.
Just 5 minutes for these oldies.
Ethan, are you going to school after this?
Yes.
Okay, so... Tell me, in school, are the others intimidated by you, or do they think you're someone that they look up to? What is it like at school? Because you're so smart.
They're jealous.
Yeah,
most
there
of
we
the
go.
Time.
Good, right? Because you could do this really quickly, right?
Yes.
How often are you wrong?
Not always. Not.
Not even sometimes.
Not even sometimes.
I love this. All right. So, you are an A-plus student. I had two of your A-plus students on the show last year. We were amazed by how brilliant these kids are. Ethan is from A-plus students by C-Maths, who will be representing South Africa at both Mental Maths World Cup in Germany, as well as the PAMA, that's the Palmer Global Competition. It stands for the Pan-Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Association. That's in South Korea later this year. And the reason for the challenge is to raise funds and awareness to send these guys over to be to compete, obviously, in the South Korean competition. Brainchild Children's Supplements are sponsoring the Kids versus Celebs Maths Challenge this morning, and we will be filming it to put it on social media so you can see. So I'll start. I'll go up against you, and then we'll try with Michael Flax and see if the results are any better, okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's prepare ourselves mentally for this. Do you do any kind of preparation? Do you do breathing exercises or do you just hit the road running?
I just hit the road.
Oh my God, you're so good. This is going to be the most embarrassing day of my life. What am I going to tell people when I fail to you and you're 12? Let's do this. All right.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, Ethan.
Okay, I'm ready.
Hit that. Now, what do? Do we add them up on our little boards? Can I write them down or is it too quick? What do we do? Do you want to explain it to us quickly? What's your name? Come over here. Let me hear. Who can explain this to me? I need someone who's smart enough to... Just hold on. There. All right. Come right to the microphone. Talk to me.
It is just addition. It's just going to flash double digits.
All right.
It's going to flash 10 times, but it's going to be too fast for you to write it down.
Oh, so I've got to do mental arithmetic.
You have to do mental arithmetic, and then you have to write down the answer.
All right, go for it. Let's do this. Ethan, I'm ready when you are.
Okay,
54, 22, 96, 82, 27, 29, 98, 55, 59, 76.
598?
I came up with 598 as well. Is it 598? Let's see the answer. That is correct.
That is amazing. Wow.
But I was also on 598.
I know, Gareth. The two of you are literally peas in the pod here.
Right. Okay, so do we want to do another one? Okay. Well, this time I will not call out the numbers. I will just add them quietly in my genius head and we'll see who comes up with. Don't you scream out your answer before I have. Four, six, three. What is it?
530.
Okay, you so beat me to that one as well. All right, try another one. We need to see the numbers on here. All right. Okay, Ethan, I promise you, just what were the... What's the total? Give me the total. 640. All right, let's see if that's correct. 640. You saw how quick that was. Quite right, again. Okay, how many numbers are in there? Like 10? 10 numbers. Okay, 10 double-digit numbers, and he's got it right 3 out of 3 times.
So, Ethan, what's your game plan here? I see you doing a funny thing with your hand.
Yeah, what do you do with your hand?
Are you literally just adding up one off the other?
Yes.
So you're not looking at like tens and carrying twos and just quick and easy, huh?
Just quick and easy, yeah.
I have to... The first two numbers were 95 and 81. Do you know what I have to do? I have to go 5 plus 1 is 6 and then 9 and 8 is... I have to 17 and 7 and 1, so I carry... so it's 176. You see how I had to do that? That's how hard it is for me to do this kind of maths. How did you learn to do this?
Well, I started in grade R,
mm-hmm.
and I just got used to it, and I loved it, and that's what got me here.
It's so good when you're good at something, right? Yes. It's fun to do. Flax, you want to try?
We can give it a try, but this is unbelievable.
All right, Flax, go. Here's your board. You can write numbers down if you want to. Oh, he's already running into the next one, so we'll do the one after this. No, we'll do the next one. Relax. Relax, it's Flax.
Okay.
How much did you get for that one, by the way? Another 10 numbers.
448.
448, let's see if you're right. That's fantastic. You got it again. Okay, now wait for this one. Flax, are you ready?
I'm as ready as I could be.
Okay, and go.
This is so funny to watch.
824.
824? Is that correct?
Not even close.
510.
Damn. All right, Ethan, listen. You've destroyed us all. Ben, do you want to try?
No, Gareth, because I'll look as stupid as you guys did. It's fun, though. No, it's fun to watch.
Fun to watch.
It's fun to watch what a mind can actually do, like what it's meant to do.
Listen, I'm very impressed. I don't know what to say, Ethan. Are you going to go over to South Korea?
Yes.
Okay, we need funds for you to do this, right?
Okay.
So we want people to help. We want you to get involved, raise awareness, raise funds, send these young maths geniuses to South Korea. And thank you to everybody from C-Maths and from Brainchild Children's Supplements and sponsoring the Kids versus Celebs Math Challenge this morning. We'll be filming this and putting it on social media so you could see Ethan rattling off those answers as quick as a flash. And honestly, I struggle with the first two numbers. I can't even figure out what that is added together, and he's already onto number nine by the time I've figured out what the first two add up to. It's a brilliant, brilliant thing you've got here.
Thank you.
And is it a system? Anyone can do this?
Yes, if you're willing to put the time and effort into it.
Jeez. Wow, you're gonna be so useful one day to people like me who can't
you.
Add. I'm gonna have to give you a job and pay you more than I get.
Thank you.
All right, dude. Thank you very much. Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for your time.
I feel so good about myself being beaten by a 12-year-old. It's great. Get out of here, Ethan. I never want to see you again. You're a genius. I love it. Congratulations. Wow, huh? Ben?
Yeah. Yeah, Gareth, when you look at this, you think about the simplicity of it all. But then you go, okay, cool. But how do I do this? And it is, it's repetition.
I'm just looking for someone to blame.
I'm every year doing this.
I'm either going to blame my maths teachers at school, who were pretty horrible people.
But we didn't get this at school, right? We were basically told just to not eat or fight.
Yeah, just shut up.
And this is the times table. That was all we were given.
Yeah, and if you don't learn this, then you probably get hit in the hands with a ruler or something. So it wasn't particularly good at making us feel better about ourselves. But there we are. All right, so I've just been beaten resoundingly, 3 out of 3 times by a 12-year-old who's, look, he's smart. He wouldn't matter if he was 12 or 17 or 28. He'd still beat me.
But you think it's of the potential if your mind can do that now, right? Yeah. And you get your whole life ahead of you, what you can actually go on to achieve and how you can see the world differently.
I don't want to think about it. It upsets me.
I also feel like I've just lost so much time in life.
Anyway, look, I'll never be able to compete with the likes of Ethan, but it's fun to imagine. And it's fun to do this if you are at the stage where you want to be able to add up quickly, then this is the way you could be able to do it. And it's not just addition, there are other challenges and skills that you can learn too. Thank you to everybody from CMaths. Thank you to the team in Kids versus Celebs this morning. We'll be back in a moment with more. All right. It's Genuine with Pony. Okay, listen to this. This is from Apiwe. Apiwe says, I'm listening to cliffcentral.com on the app. It's amazing. HD quality via my car radio. Yeah, that's what I was listening to. On Tuesday morning, I took a picture of it. Plug my phone. I don't plug it into anything. I've got this little cradle that I put my phone into, which is on the dashboard. And then I can see the screen of my phone without having to move my eyes off the road. But I basically have the Cliff Central app on, and it's in my line of vision. And it's playing through my Bluetooth in my car. That sounds better than radio. I'm just pointing that out to those people who still don't understand how this works. You are still living in 2004, when this song was still hot. Genuine with Pony. All right, listen. So much to talk about today. The Lurries are coming up, Mubs. You know what that is, right?
Tell me.
The Lurries is a celebration of all the very best in advertising in South Africa. It's an opportunity for the advertising industry to get together and to talk about things, to share all the biggest and best ads, above the line advertising, some of the below the line stuff, television advertising, radio, print. All the best creative people in the country get together and they check out each other's work. And then some people get very excited and they get very drunk afterwards. But we're going to talk to Andrew Heman just now, who's the CEO of the Lurries. He's been the head of the South Africa's Premier Creative Awards for the last 10 out of the 37 years that they have been in existence. Ben, you know about the Lurries.
Yeah, I went to the once.
It's very prestigious. If you go into any of the ad agencies around South Africa, you will see they all have a trophy cabinet outside that is full of the awards that they've received.
And yeah, among you have those, to have that.
Right? Among those are the Lurries. You can pick them up from a mile away because they actually are in the shape of a Lurrie. The bird, that is. They're doing them this year in Durban, and it's going to be very exciting. So let's speak to Andrew Heman next. A couple of other interesting things coming in terms of election results. It's the day after the elections today. And it looks so far as if the countrywide vote, 51.65% ANC, 30.93% of votes counted DA, and EFF at 6.85%. Who are you interested in?
Oh, well, my party are not there, the Vryheidsfront. I don't know.
Which province you want me to look at? Give me a province.
Well, what's happening in Nelson Mandela Bay?
This is like pick a card.
Are the DA still, they holding on to the lead there?
Let me give you Nelson Mandela Bay. It is, it's looking very yellow, which is the color of the DA on the official IEC website, elections.org.za. So far, for the whole of Nelson Mandela Bay, the DA at 55.9%. Which would give them an outright majority. Mm-hmm. The ANC at 34.6% and the EFF at 4.06%. Followed by the UDM at 1.31%.
Oh, well.
Who else are you interested in? Come on, come on. Give me a pick a card. Pick a card. All those places we discussed with Justice, all looking interesting.
Yeah, look, I know you're not interested in the Northern Cape, but let's go there.
You want to go there?
Yeah, let's do it.
The whole of the Northern Cape at the moment, the leading party is the ANC at 57.73%, the DA at 25.3%, and the EFF at 8.69%. So what do you want to know in particular? Is there a place that you're interested in the Northern Cape? Northern Cape?
No, not particularly. I mean, is there any interesting...
Well, there aren't any cities for a start. They're all just dusty towns. So you could pretty much write them off from that point of view.
Do we know how many of the votes are in as you give us these results?
In fact, let me count the votes. There are councils not yet waiting to be calculated, 18. So they're altogether 18 councils there. There are 8 councils that are already... counted up for the ANC, and the rest are still in the balance. But, for example, where Kimberley comes into things, let's look at Kimberley. We're looking at about a 71% to the ANC. But there are some wards, like, for example, the one in Ward 004 is at 18% DA at the moment. So you'll have to keep an eye on that one. Northwest, obviously, only about 10 people who live in the whole province, so...
Of course.
Not really worth too much of your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Limpopo, Mpumalanga looking 66.5% ANC. Limpopo 64%, Northwest 61%, Free State 61%. KwaZulu-Natal 55.6% ANC.
Isn't that a drop for KZN?
Mm-hmm. Inkatha Freedom Party still big in KZN, hey? 28.5%, that makes them the official opposition in Natal. Obviously... These are early results. Not all the results have been counted yet. Some wards have not even put in a result yet. For example, there are two that are sticking out like a sore thumb to me. The one that is completely blank, that no one is talking about yet, because there are no results in at all yet. Huge. Etekwini Municipality, Durban.
Huh.
No results come in yet. They're obviously still in the middle of counting there. And there's also a large piece of Limpopo that has not been counted yet. Let me tell you what that district is so that you have some idea. It is called the Lepelele Nkompi area. I think that might be like Mahuba's Kloof, that sort of area. That they still have to count everything. There's not a single result in for that part of Limpopo. All right, lots to talk about. Do you want to bring Andrew in quickly, Flax? Let's talk to the CEO of the Lurie's. I'm going to be going to the Lurie's this year. And we're going to talk to Andrew Himan, who's the CEO of the Lurie's. Talk about the creative work that's being celebrated in various disciplines. Architecture, design, print, radio advertising, direct marketing, live events, video, digital media. Most recently, even a category called service design. And we're going to talk about Andrew's own background. He's got extensive experience in the advertising and marketing industry. He's been a strategic director, a copywriter, creative director, experience as a judge for the local and international creative awards. And he is a very, very qualified man, entirely apart from his role at the Lurie's. He's someone who knows a huge amount about the creative business in South Africa. Good morning, and welcome to our studio, Andrew. It's a pleasure to have you here. Let me give you some decent introduction music so that you can feel as important as our last guest who just made a moron of me. Isn't that horrible? I mean, what a way to be greeted on a Thursday morning by a 12-year-old who's going to beat you in maths.
Morning, Gareth.
Well, how are you?
Yeah, great. I'm glad I arrived after that.
I would have made you take the kid on if
I'm glad I missed that.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
How are the Lurie's coming along? It's just a couple of days to go.
Yeah, this is the last mile, so we're very busy with all the production planning at the moment, getting ready for Durban.
It's the 20th of August, somewhere around there, right?
Well, the week actually starts on the 15th, so it's the full week, the creative week.
Wow.
And then the two nights are really, it's a great week because it builds. So a lot of people think when something starts, you go to the beginning of it, but actually it starts on the Monday and then the end of the week is when it really starts getting busy.
How many awards in total are given out?
Well, there's over 3,000 entries this year.
Wow.
And also I think a lot of people don't realize it's across the whole region now. So it's the whole of Africa and the Middle East. We've got, I think, 22 countries participating this year. So from the from the over 3,000 entries, you look at about roughly 1% of those get a gold lorry.
Hmm.
So you have,
and they're only the best.
So that's you're looking at the best work, and from that you get a small handful of Grand Prix as well. So you're looking at about maybe so
those
30,
are the apex.
Yeah.
Those are the apex prizes.
Yeah.
Tell me, Andrew. I mean, the lorries have moved around a lot in the last couple of years. They always used to be what, in Sun City?
Well, the lorries were actually started by the SABC in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about technology and all modern, like you were talking earlier about how to access your show.
Mm.
And if you think back, I don't know, I might even be showing my age. You might be too young for this, but, you know, TV was this high-tech technology in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have TV.
Sure.
So lorries were actually a way to show people this new medium and say, hey, you can do ads on TV. So they started in 78, and I think they were actually at the Colton Center one year.
Oh, wow.
And then they moved on, and in the 80s they moved to Sun City, yes. Which is very appropriate to be at Sun City in the 80s. There's no better place to be.
It was the place, yeah. Right? Yeah.
And they were at Sun City for a long time, and in 2005 they moved to Margate, actually, which was a big shift.
Yeah, that was a major move. What was the thinking behind that? Because by then you were very much the CEO.
Yeah, so that was my first year. So the first thing...
What made you guys decide to go to Margate? I mean, no one goes to Margate.
You know, the whole thing about creativity, and you look at the work and you say, what makes for great creativity? And it's ultimately, it's about when you see something unexpected. And you look at it and go, wow, and it's often so simple. And you look at something and you go, that's really great. You know, you and it's just sort of doing things, doing the unexpected, but almost the obvious when you see it. So really, Margate was about taking everyone out of their comfort zone. So saying, hang on a second, the lorries is in... It was in a bad space in 2004. So it's saying, how do we shake it up? How do we turn it around? And the one thing is saying, well, then don't keep doing the same thing. So we looked and said, well, look, if we're going to change the venue, where should we host the lorries? So we came up with the most obvious place to do it, which was Margate.
The least obvious place to do it. It's fantastic. I like the idea of shaking people up and taking them out of their comfort zones. And I think advertising has been shaken up a lot in the last couple of years. I say advertising in particular. I know that the lorries are far more expansive and extensive range of awards. But advertising is tough. It's tougher than it's maybe ever been. That's certainly my impression when I speak to creative directors, when I speak to the people who run the ad agencies. They are saying that you have to work that much harder for every cent. Your deadlines are that much tighter. There's an expectation that your results will be instantaneous. And that wasn't always the case in advertising.
Yeah, so in a way, it depends how you look at it. So first of all, advertising is an interesting thing because it's all advertising in a way. So often we go, oh, it's not that the lorries are more than advertising, but that advertising is more than the obvious.
Sure.
So when you're looking at the interior design of a food chain store, that's advertising. That's your brand. So you're saying when I walk in there, you can't simply have a TV ad and it doesn't continue. So what advertising is it's much broader than it was before when you said, okay, let's just run a bad ad on the radio and then we'll follow it up with a bad ad in a newspaper and then we'll get and we'll just put a lot of money behind it. So so really what's nice now is, funny enough, is creativity is more important now than it was 20 years ago. So brands are realizing they have to do things differently and they have to make an impact and they have to be able to talk to you in a way that you want to communicate. So it is far more challenging and you have far more emphasis on how to be creative and how to be innovative in your messaging.
I'm interested. Your background is actually in engineering. You're a material scientist, right?
Yes.
Yeah, by qualification, that's kind of how you would have ended up building bridges and you would have designed complex mechanical things that would have borne load and weight and all that kind of thing. Now, you're in charge of the lorries. You're dealing with a lot of people who are completely unscientific. They may be in very creative businesses where science is or isn't an element, depending. Is it for you a big change from what you'd actually studied, what you'd done as an engineer and a material scientist?
Well, in some ways, not really. So I was very involved in science, and I stayed at university for, I think, 10 years. And when you working on that level and doing postgrad and doing research, it's again about creativity. So I always believed in the creativity of science. And again, doing things that people haven't done and finding something new. So our society, a lot of it does, it separates. It says, hey, maths is over there and art is over there. And if you look at schooling, it very much separates the two. So it's how you actually, so being innovative isn't very separate from science. And so I think that's a key thing. And the other thing is, again, it's about media. When I was doing my studies, digital media was just coming out. So I was involved when the first email came out and the first web browser, I don't know if you remember, Mosaic was the first browser, and that was a huge thing. So there were these transformative things. So the most interesting things happening in engineering was the internet. It was the revolutionary thing. So I actually, in the 90s, then got involved in the internet and thought, hey, this is the most exciting thing. And from that, then co-founded a little digital agency, and we sold people websites. And they were like, a what? We said, you need a website. They said, I don't need that thing. I've got my fax machine, and that'll do.
Now, if you don't have a large digital presence and you don't have a social media presence and you're not doing everything you can to get into people's lives, I mean, whether it's, you know, fishing where the fish are, so to speak, in advertising, or actually appearing on these people's cell phones, the one piece of equipment that you never leave home without, you just don't exist.
Yeah, so if you consider what's normal today is doing things. You say you don't exist, but what you're doing that's normal today didn't exist 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
So if you look at the brands, for example, brands that are involved in Creative Week this year, we've got Google involved and we've got Facebook involved, who are both have various activations and workshops happening during Creative Week. Those brands didn't exist.
They are now evil super governments.
Yep.
And we've got to be careful of them because we're so dependent. I mean, you ask anybody a question anymore and they say, well, I don't know, but I'll Google it.
Yeah, so it's integrated into your daily life.
What do you think is the most exciting part of all of this? Because there are obviously innovations and facilities and structures and systems that we can now tap into that have made life better for many millions of people all over the world. But there are also obviously things that have driven civilization forward in leaps and bounds in ways that incrementally over thousands of years just never happened before.
Yeah, so I think these changes in digital are dramatic in terms of how they impact people's lives. You know, if you look at it almost on a timeline of transportation, and if you say, okay, treat digital media as a new form of transportation.
Right.
When the motor car came and the internal combustion engine, it completely changed people's lives by how it impacted. And you went in the same with rail. So you said, here's an internal combustion engine, here's a train. And then you said, hey, hang on a second, we can fly. And transcontinental airlines then fundamentally changed the way that you can say today, I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to be in London tomorrow morning.
Well, so if we look at, if we take your example, I mean, 200 years ago, people didn't even leave the village they were born in. About 100 or more years ago, the car obviously came along, so people could cover distances for the first time within a certain range. Then the train, and then obviously the plane, which meant that you could cross the Atlantic in a matter of hours as opposed to taking 3 months on a steamship. And now it's pretty much like a rocket to the moon.
Yeah, so now you have this instant access to the globe. And that is almost, so it's in that sense of, instead of you even getting on a plane and going somewhere, you can bring everything you want to you instantaneously. As you say, I mean, I grew up again in the 80s and 90s, and at university I'd have to go into the library and order a book if it wasn't available.
Right.
And I'd have to wait for it to arrive. Now I just pick up a phone and I type in what I want to know and I say to my friend Google, tell me the answer, and I can find out anything about anywhere in the whole world instantaneously. Mm. So that ability to travel has taken that next leap now. And I think also where we're going is the most interesting thing, because as much as we're doing things now that didn't exist, think about 5 years' time, 10 years' time, we will be doing things using technology in 5 years' time that doesn't exist today. And one of the big things that's coming is the whole concept of things like virtual reality, Oculus Rift, the 3D. Right. And I really do think that's going to become a massive transformation in people's experiences in a few years.
Now, there must be a lot of people in the ad industry who have been around a long time who are resistant to this kind of change. Are we just going to steamroll over them? Are they bound to eventually have to come around? Or is this the sort of thing that will take longer and we need to do a job of convincing them?
Look, I think there's not, you know, the advertising industry by its nature is innovative. And it moves at a fast pace. So I think its ability to accept change isn't that slow, because there's also a lot of, there's always new agencies starting. So there are a lot of small agencies, and generally every new agency that starts says, hey, we're young and we're going to do everything completely differently and we're going to change the system. And you find it's someone who gets it right, and they get it right and they bring out a completely new idea that then everyone goes, hang on a second, we've got to catch up with them, we've got to move forward. So there is some resistance in terms of structures that are in place. Mm. You know, you've got big media structures in place in terms of media budgets and how people plan and how they buy media. So it then people,
and that hasn't changed a lot, I'm afraid.
So yeah, so that's where you say, okay, how do you? So I think that's one of the structures that's very formalized. Hmm. So you say, okay, how does all of this change affect your media processes and your media strategies? And I think that's something that changes slower than other areas than where you say, how do you creatively use a mobile phone?
How about the idea of media itself? I mean, these days individuals are almost media houses in their own capacities. You know, you have people who are called influencers on social media, for example, who have as much clout as a whole SABC, for example.
Well, the thing is, you're absolutely right, and Google is a broadcaster. I think that's what people don't realize. Google is simply more similar to the SABC. It provides no content. So Google is a genius broadcaster in that it says it will just aggregate content. It doesn't have to sit and schedule it itself.
Correct.
But it says, here, go to YouTube, and we've got people providing our creative content. So we are a platform for you to get content. And then you, as the influencer, if you say, I really like this content, then that content gets pushed through you and grows an audience around that. And then advertising buying gets built around that. So Google is this strange sort of democratic broadcaster that says, as things are liked and focused on, it will then acquire advertising spend through that organic process.
What do you think most of the money is at the moment? Digital media.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's with Google for sure. That's where most of the money. If you look at, a lot of people talk about digital spend, and if you literally say what percentage of that is with Google, I checked some time back and it was a massive percentage. So you know, most, if you look at every rand spent on
70,
digital
80,
today,
90?
I think I'm guessing now, but it's, you know, it's in the at least 50 cents out of every rand spent digitally, I think, is with Google.
Are you concerned that there are also dangers to this? I mean, that if Google is this supranational advertising medium and media broadcaster, even though it doesn't create any of its own content, we don't know what Google stands for. Are you concerned that this is something that could be nefarious? It could be dangerous.
Yeah, again, you as I say, it's a broadcaster. So it's the same as having concerns about the SABC and who's controlling the SABC.
By the way, are you concerned about the SABC? I mean, are we worried at the Lurys this year that the SABC might not make the kind of impression that it did in previous years? Or is that a political question?
So, well, the SABC isn't directly involved in the Lurys in terms of content. So it's I think SABC, where it is important from an advertising point of view, is that it still has the biggest audiences in the country. So it's an incredibly important platform from the point of view of communicating to the country. So going back to your question, that's why it's so important that these platforms are free and fair in terms of communication. So I think Google, if you look at both Google and Facebook, one of the big political issues at the moment is how free speech should they be, and they've both taken positions of extreme free speech, and there are forces opposed to their free speech as opposed to them. They are very hesitant to limit anyone's comment on their platforms. So that, and I think that is going to be an ongoing issue internationally and globally with platforms, because now you have, again, I have the ability to globally communicate. I can be a small group of three people in my garage in any country in the world, and I can access a global audience through platforms like YouTube and Google and Facebook.
Now, you mentioned growing up in the 80s. The Lurys used to also be this massive party, right? I mean, the Lurys used to be the get-together for anybody who was wild and bacchanalian and out of control and drugged up, sexed up, rock and rolled up. It used to be the most exciting party in the world. Is it still that, or does that just carry? Is that the reputation that's been carried over since the 80s?
I'd like to say that I'd say it still is that.
Good,
but we have some, cerebral and inspiring elements. So I think it's a very, the end of the week, you can literally carry on 24 hours a day from Thursday to Monday morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've got a seminar with world's leading creative people speaking, international speakers that you'll never get a chance anywhere else in the country to listen to. So that's happening during the day. And then in the evening, there's a chairman's party, which carries on until 6 a.m. the next morning.
That's amazing.
So, and then the next morning we have activities and workshops going on, and then we have the award ceremonies, and then we have a Channel O party on the Sunday evening again, going all the way into Monday morning. So I think it still is the ultimate party for the industry, but I think it's grown to be bigger and a big connecting environment for everyone.
What's happening in Durban this year? Give us some of the highlights that are being planned.
So the Creative Week, as I said, starts on the 15th. So we literally judge all the work in the same week. So it's very exciting. No one knows who the winners are. No one knows who the finalists are. So we only announce shortlists every day. So we have dailies as the judging happens. So we judge Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we have the shortlists. And then from Thursday, most of the delegates start coming in. So we have a judges' wrap on Thursday evening. We have the seminar on Friday. We also have a student portfolio day on the Friday, which is a fantastic thing where we get about 40 to 50 of the top students from all the universities and colleges across the country, and they all get together and they get a chance to present their portfolios to all the agencies. So it's really become like speed dating for creatives.
Oh, wow.
And you know, to have a room where you have the 50 top students all in one room all at once,
uh-huh.
and you get to just pick them and say, okay, I'm hiring you. So the agencies have picked up on this now, and they send their HR teams into this portfolio day.
That's so cool.
So it's a great thing that's happening as well. We're also doing a workshop with Facebook in Kwamashu.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
no.
Dry throat.
So, no, that's all right.
And back to your mention of the mobile phone. So Facebook's workshop is specifically about how to run a mobile business.
Right.
For people living in townships. So it's, again, leapfrogging all the 80s and 90s, saying, don't worry about bricks and mortar.
You don't need it.
Take your cell phone and set up an entire business on your cell phone.
Uber did it. Airbnb did it. They didn't need any infrastructure or huge amounts of investment to start.
So, and that's it. So you don't need a laptop, you don't need a desk, you don't need a building.
And isn't it true that because we have unique challenges in South Africa, particularly in townships, that there are unique problems to be solved? Where you solve problems, you start businesses and you make money.
And you can, and that's the point. It's you don't have to go linearly. It's more today, it's about leapfrogging.
Right.
Saying, hang on a second, how do I jump ahead of all of you?
Yeah, scale up immediately and exponentially. Yeah. Well, I picked up on that when I was in Silicon Valley in May of this year, which was fascinating. We met with venture capitalists and with Google and Facebook and all the rest of them. And we got to see how it all works in that very 21st century ecosystem. And it indicated to me that we are, first of all, not very far behind. I don't think the world is very far behind in any place anymore because of this enormous amount of interaction and communication between people in very rural places and very, very poor places in horrible countries on the globe that are just devastated by war and famine and poverty. But even they are able to catch up now with what's going on in a way that they couldn't before. So it's very exciting. There's almost a collaborative effort that's never happened before.
Well, I think, you know, your key thing is when you give that example going back 100 years, 200 years. Mm. 200 years ago, if you were two villages on either side of a mountain, that's what created a dialect. They had completely different languages just because they had a mountain between them.
Right.
And now everybody is logging on to YouTube and watching the same thing.
Well, listen, Andrew, I wish you luck for the Week of the Lurries, which is coming up very, very shortly. You've probably got loads of work ahead of you. Is there a massive amount of logistical stuff that has to be dealt with?
Yeah. So that's exactly it now. It's just getting everything, all the logistics together, okay, getting ready for that first day of the week.
Looking forward to it. We will absolutely be telling you all about the Lurries as we come closer and closer to it. But it's exciting that we're part of the Lurries this year too, cliffcentral.com. And thank you for coming to see us this morning.
Great. Thanks, Gareth.
Awesome. There we go. That's the future. And if you want to hear more, then you can find out more on cliffcentral.com. Our own creative director, Aria Kelman, will be going along. And I will be there too, and I'll at least spend the one night at the awards themselves, so I'll be able to report back to you and let you know what happened there. Everybody's interested in that industry, right, Mubs?
Absolutely.
Advertising is sexy and exciting. Ben, you were in advertising for a while.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sexy or exciting, but the industry had its moments with me.
You've never been, Ben, but then, you know, let's leave that alone. Not when you're cynical like this.
No one offered me drugs, Gareth. I told you the story. You know, I got in there with the wrong ideas and, you know, fell a bit flat. I'm watching Mad Men now again, right? Getting back into it. And it is. It's an industry that's shaped modern life in so many different ways.
When you watch Mad Men, sorry, Andrew, to bring you back in here, but when you watch Mad Men, how does that feel for you, having seen this industry inside and out for how many years now? It must be incredible. To look, I mean, you weren't there in those 60s heydays of advertising, but it must be exciting to watch, right?
So it's interesting because, again, that is a lot of the core structures around which the big agencies are built into those formalized structures. And I actually remember a story. One of the South African creative directors, and I won't mention any names, it's quite a famous story, and he got a job to run a London agency.
Yeah.
And he went across from here and arrived at his London agency and found they were all sitting in their own offices in a little room, private offices, and they all had their doors closed. Uh-huh. And he said, look, this is just not going to work. We need to open this all up and we need to change and we need to have everyone working all together. So he got some guys in and they took all the doors off all their offices and he removed the doors and he said, look, this is going to, you know, you're all going to open up and you're going to be sharing more. So the next day he came into work and there was no one there and all the doors were gone and all the creatives were gone. And someone left him a note and said, until you put our doors back on our offices, we won't be in. And then he literally had the doors all put back on and everybody came back in and went back into their offices and closed their doors.
Oh, Jesus. It's never going to change. There are always going to be these people who upset things and they're going to be these people who love things the way that they are.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps things exciting. I mean, it's not going to be monolithic. It's not going to be binary. It's going to be interesting and disruptive at very least.
And I think the interesting thing is, as much as we talk about technology and phones and everything, it's human. It's humans and it's behavior and it's real people. So ultimately, you're still creating an environment for real emotions to be shared amongst people. And I think you always go back to Shakespearean plays where the same emotions are at play now as they were 2,000 years ago, and you've just got a mobile phone to help you do the same things that you would have wanted to do 2,000 years ago.
Thank you very much for coming to see us. That's Andrew Human. He's the CEO of the Lurys. It's happening around the 15th to the 20th of August. So it's a whole week of the most exciting stuff in creative in the creative industries in South Africa. Make sure that we give you all the details as we get closer to it. I'ma laugh at you and then I have to cruise jamming number two. All right. You can't arrest me, plus you can't sue. Well, the CEO of the Lurys said, sorry that you didn't get any drugs, Ben, but he'll try and organize for you next time.
Yeah, I think the moment's gone, huh? I'm now here.
Yeah.
Didn't get any drugs here either.
You've moved on, Ben. All right, we're still talking elections. I found a really interesting guy to follow, thanks to Homo from the Renegade Report, who, of course, doesn't vote at all.
No, it's a complete waste of his time.
Yeah, he doesn't. And Dori, I noticed from our office, has proclaimed herself an anarchist as well.
So she didn't vote either?
No, she said last night, none of this is my problem because I don't vote. I'm an anarchist. So I said to her, oh, really? Because tomorrow it becomes your problem when the rest of us have decided who your government is.
Okay.
Right? So here are some interesting things from the vote in Tshwane. According to Davi Skoltz, you can follow him on Twitter, at DAWIESCHOLTZ, Davi Skoltz. He's a number cruncher. So
okay.
He's an election nerd, he calls himself. So he goes in and he looks at the results coming in, and here is what he says about Tshwane. 8% of the vote tallied 2 hours ago in Tshwane.
Only 8%?
Only 8%. We've got all the ingredients for an incredibly close election, he says.
Okay.
Turnout gap so far. Suburban turnout, 75%. Township turnout, only 57%.
Okay.
Look, this is based on the 8% of the vote counted, but that is quite something. It's what Justice was saying earlier about how many people who had voted ANC are just not going to go this year.
Okay.
Just a note on the turnout in suburban Tshwane. It's incredibly high. It's basically at general election levels. The DA is also making inroads in the townships. The DA vote in the townships in 2011 was 5%. In 2014 was 6%, this is for the DA, and in 2016, 9% so far. The ANC isn't shedding township votes as compared to 2014. Township support in the ANC is 77 to 78% so far.
For the ANC?
Correct.
Okay.
Then, the trends in Tshwane are creating a very tight election because there's high DA turnout, DA growth in townships, but the ANC still holding its township voters. All in all, it's too soon to attempt a projection in Tshwane, he says. But really important result has just come out for the DA, who've won the Kocha municipality in the Eastern Cape with 58% of the vote. And that means that's a flip from ANC to DA. And 7% plus for the DA in Kocha municipality. And with 12% of the vote now in Nelson Mandela Bay, the model is projecting with 99% certainty the DA will be the largest party in the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality.
Wow.
By the way, in case you were wondering, the DA is set for a huge majority in Cape Town, possibly 2/3, according to this Davi Skoltz. An interesting guy to follow. He calls himself elections nerd, and he says he likes Excel spreadsheets. So,
okay.
In other words, he's like that maths genius kid that we had in here earlier.
You know, it's a lot more refreshing than I like big boobs and a nice ass.
Yeah.
What?
Well, he says he
Are
likes,
you criticizing me?
He says he likes Excel spreadsheets. It's a nice change from I like big boobs and a tight ass.
Why did I take that as a personal insult? What's wrong with me? God, I've got a persecution complex, don't I? Huh?
You said it.
What's my problem?
A lot.
Where do we start? Come on, Mubs, help me with this.
No,
what do you think happened to me as a child?
You know, anything is possible, Gareth. I mean, Ben was raised by, you know, he was raised in the wild. He's like Mowgli.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what happened to you just yet. And I don't know what happened to me either.
Ben, do you want to have a go? You've worked with Mabali and I for long enough now. What do you think's wrong with us?
I don't think anything's wrong with you guys, other than the fact that, well, nothing. You're actually some of my favorite people, because after the show, I go out into the rest of the world, and I'm mostly uninspired. Dreadfully disappointed by how average people are, how they always take the low road. Very unfunny.
Really?
Yeah, this is pretty much the highlight right here, guys. This is it.
All right. Well, maybe that's why other people like to hang out with us every morning. You can join in by calling 0861-555-189. Only a couple minutes left of the show if you want to get in your comments. Maybe you had an interesting election day experience. There's something you want to share there. Maybe you're excited about the results in your area. Tell us where you are. 0861-555-189. Do it, if for no other reason but to give Flack something to do while he's answering the phones. Then a couple of other messages. Tyrell says, you would think that that mind progresses, but I was a bit of a maths genius when I was young. I haven't practiced in years. Now I'm just as good as Gareth. You have to practice a lot to be good with numbers. Harry says, hey team, I'm loving justice this morning. Did you see only 5 people voted in Vuwani? Only 5 people?
Yeah, I saw Feriel Hafaji tweeting earlier that only 10% of that community voted, which, you know, I mean, the way that she phrased it, she said it's little, but it actually says a lot.
Yeah, but I don't know that 90% who didn't even turn out, I don't know that those people are doing themselves a favor. Because now they won't have a government. And if they do, it'll be decided by 10% of them. So there's going to be unrest and destabilization in that area. And those children need schools.
Oh, my goodness. Those children, yeah. I mean, those matriculants, I don't think that they're going to pass matric this year. I think for a lot of them, they're going to be expected to repeat next year. And that's if they have the funds to do so.
Very.
But, you know, there was very heavy police presence in Vuwani yesterday. And I think part of the reason is because people were maybe afraid to go out and vote because they were thinking any second now, this could just turn very ugly and spiral out of control into violence. So yeah. Maybe some people were thinking, I'm just going to stay away from that whole mess.
Right.
I don't want any trouble today.
Absolutely. Well, we don't want any trouble today either. So let's hope that these elections are declared free and fair, first of all. That would be the first stop for any of us, but also that we are able to get the results in ASAP and that we can have accurate results. Here are some of the things that are happening today. A replay of the open book with Lois Obala. That's happening at 9 o'clock. Sex and the Bible.
Oh.
Yep. Very controversial show. I listened to it a while ago. It's very, very good. If you haven't heard it, you'll love that. Alan Ford's Unview. Who have they got? They've got an Olympic gold medalist, Ben. Lawrence Ndlovu, the rower.
All right.
He's going to join Alan to discuss Rio 2016. Louise Carver will talk about her hitting it big on a US Billboard chart with a new single. And Miss South Africa discuss voting, the CEO sleepout, and more. A weekly mashup with Tumi Shomasha and Candice Mama. They'll talk about the elections and have color therapist Linky Potgieter in the studio to talk about special readings for them about the art of color therapy. Unplugged and In Charge, Simpiwe, Lesejo, Where's That Guy, Vaughn Thiel. I saw Simpiwe at the gym yesterday. He was on his way to vote after he'd been to gym. Very organized, those gentlemen. You can join the tribe of superstar leaders with a dose of inspiration, motivation, eyebrow-raising information. Unplug from the negative and empower yourself to feel in charge of your own future success with Unplugged and In Charge from 12 o'clock. 1 o'clock, Fashion Lab, Liz Ogumbo-Regisford is in, dissecting the business behind fashion. Future CEOs with Gareth Armstrong and Hlubi Mboya. The Q with Mark Bland and Kelman on Cliff Central with Aria Kelman today. The Blogger Diaries, The America Report, and Start Your Great campaign with Kellogg's, among other things. Boiti Tulo will be popping in. The Maid Sessions is our podcast-only show for Thursday, and if you haven't heard that show before, you are missing out. It's with Mbali Njomani and Tuliza Sindi, domestic workers, the most ubiquitous and invisible community in South Africa. Be a fly on the wall as we gain their unique perspectives on a range of matters. It's a fascinating show. It's a one of a kind, and you can be a part of that with The Maid Sessions. Just download the podcast from 6 o'clock today. What else do you need to know, Ben? I ask you with tears in my eyes.
Gareth, that's about it. I think I've got everything I need.
I agree.
Today is going to be a good day.
I have a question, though.
Mads?
What time, South African time, will we see this Olympic opening ceremony with Gisele Bündchen being mugged?
Oh, it's going to be late, hey, Mubs. It's going to be really late.
Are we talking Midnight late or 3 a.m. late?
I'll confirm it tomorrow because tomorrow is my final wrap-up. So what all the things you've
moved out
for.
It's not tonight, though. It'll be the next night.
No, it's not tonight.
Okay. All right. Excellent. We'll find out more from Ben tomorrow in his pre-Olympic special.
The D-Day Olympic special. Right, tomorrow's Friday.
Very good. Here's what you need to know, all right? Thabo Mbeki's vote was a much-desired thing in the lead-up to the election, so much so that former president is having a garage sale today to try and get some cash in for all the gifts he's received from the various parties. Items for sale? A red beret from the EFF, a blue t-shirt from the DA, and a 2016 BMW 7 Series from the ANC. In other news, the DA are bullish over early results from the elections, with Musi Maimane saying that the strategy of phoning tens of thousands of voters really paying off. Helen Zille disagrees, however, says the painting of her exposed vagina was what got people to put their ex next to the DA on the ballot sheets. There's Helen claiming her vagina was the important part of this election campaign. And finally, Man City continue to spend big in the transfer window. They have just secured the services of Jesus, a 19-year-old striker from Brazil. There's huge hype around him, and for the price that City have paid, everyone is pretty much expecting him to walk on water this season. We shall see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have a great day. Keep it on cliffcentral.com. Thank you to Flex. Thank you to Mubs. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to Pashida. But most importantly, thank you to you. All right. Have a happy day. Yeah, do not let the people get you down with their bad news and their expectations of election fraud or any of that stuff. We're not going to let that get to us. It's going to be good all round. Cliffcentral.com.